The scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 3. So if you have raised with Christ, seek the things that you are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is your life, Christ who is your life is revealed. Then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is adultery. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed. When you were living that life, but now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. My name is Philip Tesarek, and I'm a certified lay minister in the Desert Southwest Conference. And I hope you have heard the word welcome today, but we are all very glad that you chose here to worship today. I was fortunate to just get back from vacation up on the Oregon coast. I got a chance to visit my sister and spend some time on the beach, which seems pretty nice considering the weather today. If you've had a chance to visit the Pacific Northwest coast, you may have noticed that they have some of the most beautiful lighthouses ever. Now, my children tell me that I'm obsessed with lighthouses, but I like to think I'm just very interested. Has anyone had a chance to actually see a lighthouse in person? Raise your hand if you've seen a lighthouse in person. All right. Lighthouses go back thousands of years, about 300 years before the birth of Christ. Essentially, they're tall towers with a bright light on top, and they're set on a coastline to guide mariners. Today, the function of most lighthouses has been replaced with modern technology like GPS and satellite and radar. But there's something emotional, there's something inspirational and stirring about a lighthouse. Perhaps that's because lighthouses actually give us two distinctively different, yet both important messages. Message number one, celebrate. You're almost home. The light shining through the darkness and the fog and your long travels, you are now near the coast. You're near dry land, safety, and hopefully a warm bed with hot food. Love, home, and safety are finally within sight. Message number two, and the second message is just as important. It says, if you don't change course really soon, you're going to crash on these rocks and die. You need to change direction and do something different very soon. Now, today is the last in our sermon series on living as disciples. In the past few weeks, we have talked about loving your neighbor with the parable of the Good Samaritan. We've talked about listening, really listening. And we've talked about prayer and our communication with God. We've talked about trust. All essential elements for living as disciples, growing our faith, and making disciples. But perhaps we save the hardest for last, right? Because the hardest for last relates to change. Changing course, changing direction, making big changes in our lives, are making little changes in ourselves. Change, that's a tough word because it means so many different things to many people. Out with the old and in with the new. But change is part of our life. Change is essential and it's all around us. The change of seasons, the change of daylight, children growing from birth and then graduating from high school. My observation is we welcome change when it benefits us, and we welcome it when we imagine that we can control it. Change is good, as long as it helps me. Transactional, just like an order at Amazon. But are we really in control of it? When my daughter suggested that I talk to you today about change, I asked her why. Her answer, "Dad, because you hate change." Tough words, but true words. When I'm honest with myself and when I'm honest with my conversations with God, it is true, I don't do well with change. Now, she's all grown up now and starting her second year of college. Our son's about to start his last year of high school, and it feels like we went from a house of 5 to a house of 3. Now, you would think that I would like that extra space and quiet and opportunity, but instead, no, it just feels uncomfortable and even sad. But it is change, right? It's good. The company I work for is going through a merger. I've sat in more meetings than I can count with smiling senior leaders telling us how wonderful change is and how we must embrace it. Have you ever sat in one of those corporate boardrooms or just meeting rooms? You know that they're surrounded by those posters, the one word capitalized, like the one on the screen. You know, motivational posters. When I'm not cringing from change, I actually find them funny. I do want to know how many people have actually instantly changed their lives because they read one of those posters. Now, however, I will tell you that all the internet's given us a lot of very unpleasant and unhealthy things, it sure does give us some good humor when it makes fun of those posters, doesn't it? We're struggling with change in our denomination as United Methodists. We are struggling with change in our country as our population, our politics, and our leaders try to figure out how to get along with each other and how to lead us. Speaking of change, how about technology? I work in technology, and we have something called Moore's Law, the principle that the speed and capability of computers can be expected to double every 2 years. So that means the computer you bought 4 years ago is already 8 times slower than the one you could buy today. Now, if you've avoided technology and you have not put Amazon Echo Dots in every room of your house and installed smart switches, you still cannot escape change because you will feel it every time you go to the grocery store or even the DMV. We can talk about change for days. It's all around us. But really, the hardest change to talk about, the change that Jesus challenges his disciples and all of us to make, is in ourselves. Today's text is from Paul's letter to the Colossians. If you've had a chance to follow the sermon series, you've heard several excerpts from this letter. The Apostle Paul writes letters to several different colonies of Christians throughout Asia Minor and the Middle East during his ministry. The Colossians were a colony of new Christians, struggling to learn and understand the words of Jesus and live into their callings. Like many of us, they were surrounded by false prophets and misguided interpretations of Jesus' teachings, what theologians today call the heresies. Some Colossians had even incorporated pagan rituals and idol worship into their Christian worship. Now, the Colossians were new Christians. They were well-intentioned people. They were trying to be faithful. Yet they had many different voices in their ears telling them versions of Christianity and versions of what they should find holy and not holy and what they should do and not do. False prophets and false messengers. Paul writes these letters to set the record straight. He writes it to chastise them, to guide them, to educate them. And in today's text, Paul is giving us his rules of holy living. Now, Paul gives us a whole litany of things to stop doing. He challenged the Colossians and all followers of Christ to get rid of sinful practices in order to grow in spiritual ministry, maturity, and develop Christian values. Now, Paul's a pretty direct guy. He uses clear language right in the text. Listen to his words again. Put to death, therefore, whatever is in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Let's see. We have fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, anger, malice, slander, and abusive language. All those things we will find in a single day on Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago, but I think we could see it on any reality TV show today. Put to death. In other words, stop doing what you're doing, change course, or you're going to crash on the rocks. This is the human condition, the timeless struggle that each of us and every one of us has to emerge from the darkness that we live in into our God-given calling as disciples and followers of Christ. But there's also light in Paul's message. Just as the lighthouse tells us to change course, it also gives us the pathway home. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And in that renewal, there is no longer a Greek or a Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, a barbarian, a Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all. There's a reward in change. There's infinite, eternal reward in moving closer to God by making these changes in our behavior. God doesn't forsake us in our bad behavior. Rather, we close ourselves off to him. Remember, the light is always on. It is always shining through the darkness. We must move closer to him to see it sometimes. God's grace surrounds us always, even in the darkest of places. We may be lost, but he can always see us. While the lighthouse serves as a warning, it also serves as a beacon of hope. There are ministries going on every day that give us opportunities to inspire ourselves to make small changes in our lives and in others. These small changes add up to bring that light of hope to people who may be in the darkness. We've all been in places of darkness in our lives, places of hopelessness. The fact that we are sitting here today means that we have been able to find that light and hope, whether that was by ourselves or with help. Even here at this church, last week we hosted six families in Family Promise. Family Promise rescues first-time homeless families from the streets and provides emergency shelter and basic needs in a program designed to assist their return to self-sufficiency. Family Promise partners with more than 40 congregations like ourselves to provide safe overnight shelter, food, and importantly, compassion to those in crisis. These are families working hard to rebuild their lives, and our volunteers made home-cooked meals and stayed overnight here at the church to be of assistance to them. Many small acts, all of them bringing the light of hope to those who might find it hard to see. Now, not all the changes have to be major or visible to make a difference. We all struggle with changes in our behavior to make ourselves better disciples and open ourselves up to the Spirit around us. But these changes are not necessarily huge undertakings. Don't get me wrong. I'm not standing up here to tell you that change is easy. Personally, I struggle with keeping my language pure and trying to eat healthy every day. I struggle with being easily angered, and for all of you who know me, I struggle with smiling. I don't find changing any of these behaviors easy, but they are necessary to make myself a better disciple and provide that hope that someone may need. Although it may not look like it on the surface, Paul's letters reflect a message of hope. Sure, he dictates off a whole list of bad things to stop doing, but the challenge isn't to stop doing all of them at once. One small smile to someone having a bad day may help them get through that bad day. The smile itself is not a huge undertaking. The key is to make the big changes to break them into smaller ones. Take it step by step. I can't immediately start smiling every day to everyone, but I can work on smiling to maybe a few more people a day. We all have our list of changes to make. Each and every one of us has a list of changes that when we listen to God, we know in our hearts that He will help us make better disciples. When we close our minds and we are honest in our prayer to God, we know what these changes are. The duality in the message from God is parallel to the two messages of the lighthouse. There is hope in the darkness, and there is hope in His grace. His grace surrounds us even in the darkest of places. And when we listen, we know that we are loved and we are not alone. And at the same time, God is telling us to change course. This course can either be big or small. Either way, the course will help us become better versions of ourselves and more attentive children of God. Last week, Pastor Rick told us that there are 1 million books telling us how to pray. I'm sure there are that many books on prayer, and I'm sure the next 1 million books sitting on the shelf are self-help books, telling us how to change or pick ourselves up. And if these 1 million books aren't good enough, there are 300 stations on cable TV that will tell you how to change. As if picking yourself up and making a decision to change is that easy. Did you know there's no theology of picking yourself up by the bootstraps? There is nothing in the Bible that actually says this, because that implies that you're alone in your endeavors, and when in fact you are not. This is where our conversation about prayer comes in. As you talk and listen to God, you will realize that you are not alone in this journey to change. He will help and He will guide you through making even the smallest change in your life. I think about the examples of Martin Luther and John Wesley, asking how could they not do daily prayer, daily hours of prayer time, how could they not do that in their everyday life? I doubt that any of us, if we're honest in our conversations with ourselves and God, don't know what we actually need to change in ourselves. What stops us from making that change is rarely a lack of awareness. It's usually the fear that we can't do it. We're scared about the results. My message to you today is that you're not alone. Jesus' teachings and Paul's words and letters give us guidance on how to get there. Paul talks about change. The change we make is like taking off old clothes and putting on brand new ones. And who doesn't like new clothes? There's hope and positivity in that change, rather than fear. As we close out this series, my challenge to you is the same challenge that the lighthouse gives every mariner. Be the beacon of hope to yourself and others while listening to God when He's telling you that you need to change course. Be the lighthouse for yourself and others. Amen.